Psalm 40, verse 1 through 17. This is the reading of God's Word. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse in falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those turn back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who says to me, Aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace that you pour out to us. We thank you for your word. It clearly shows us Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us see once again what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and that all of us will not only believe what we hear, but that we'll obey. O Father, receive all the glory and pour out your blessings. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, we only have one more psalm to go before we go to the book of Luke. But even though we're going to look at Psalm 41 next week, but we'll have one more preaching on psalm. I will put all psalms that we have looked at together, I will put them together to give you the summary of book one. So two more. Preaching on Psalms, then we'll go to Luke. Well, the title, like we saw numerous times, it says that it is Psalm of David. But from verses 13 through 17, those verses are pretty much the same as Psalm 70. If you go to Psalm 70, you will see that it's pretty much the same. Thus, many scholars believe that our Psalm, Psalm 40, is a result of the union of two Psalms. So verses 1 through 12 and another Psalm, verses 13 through 17 and someone united these two Psalms. But we believe the better explanation would be that the latter part of this Psalm was separated from this Psalm to form Psalm 70. But this is not important for us. So we just move on. But just in case you might wonder later, I'll just mention that. Just like what we saw in Psalms 38 and 39, we see again in our Psalm, King David is suffering greatly. And when we read verse 12, we could see that David knows that the sufferings that he is experiencing are due to his own sins. Verse 12 says, "For evils beyond number have surrounded me." But he also says, "My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me." When we start reading from Psalm, this Psalm from verse 1, we see King David praises our God in the midst of all the sufferings. David remembers how God has saved him out of the pit of destruction. Thus he gives thanksgiving to God as he praises God. So let us begin by reading verse 1. Verse 1 through 3, actually. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord." In the past, David has cried out to God, and God has heard his cries. God has brought him out of the pit of destruction. He has saved him out of the place of death and out of the place of abandonment. God has set his feet upon a rock, the first step of salvation. God has saved him and put him at the place of safety. And God has put a new song in his mouth. And whenever we get to this phrase, a new song, we know that God has done something in history, that there's God's work. So in response, his people praise him with new songs. God has done a new work in his redemptive history. So David here praises God with a new song. And he says, many will see. Many will see what God has done for David. And by them seeing those things, they will fear God and will trust in the Lord. They will see and be amazed and trust God. Verses 4 and 5, "How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who leapt into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. This is none to compare. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." The man who has made the Lord his trust is blessed, God says. He does not follow the proud, nor those who turn aside to false idols. Those who lapse into falsehood, ultimately these serve Satan, for Satan is the father of all lies. John chapter 8 verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I try to recite all your wonderful deeds, I will never come to the end of them. David says, Psalm 104 verse 24, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. You have to understand all is God's work. This is clearly seen even from the first two verses of our psalm. It is God who has inclined to David. God heard his cry. God has brought him up from the pit of destruction. God has set his feet upon a rock. God has made his footsteps firm. And this is what we lack in our lives, I believe, that sometimes you have to sit down and meditate upon what God has done for us, how numerous. The truth is that what God has done for us is so numerous to count. And yet, when we are actually sitting down and thinking about what God has done, most people can only name 2-3. And that's a pretty sad situation. In this practice, you need to do this often in your life. Verses 6 through 8, sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. It says, my ears you have opened. In Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. David is saying that he understands the will of God because God has opened his ears. And what is the will of God? Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. This is not saying that God is against the offerings in the Old Testament, but God is against offerings that are only outward rituals without the sincerity of the heart. It is the same with the worship in the New Testament. We are able to apply the following verses to our worship. Psalm 51 verse 16 and 17, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. It is a repentant heart. That's what God wants. David realizes this because God has opened his ears. And we also realize this through his word. That what he wants is your repenting heart. Psalm 69, verse 30 through 31, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs. Isaiah chapter 1. If you have time, go home and read Isaiah 1. And there, our Lord God is so, put it mildly, upset. Why? Because people, they just come to temple, but their hearts are somewhere else. And they just go through rituals. And God is sick of it. Let me read to you some verses there. Verse 11. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me? God says. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat cattle. And I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. God is saying all they do is they just step on the ground of the temple. That's all they do. Because they act like they're coming to worship, and yet their heart is not there. See, God looks at the heart. And it is the same in the New Testament time. It is not about whether you are here at worship. Of course it is important that you come and you are physically here. But what really matters is that you worship God with your whole heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7b, For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 22 through 23, For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I commanded you, that it may be well with you. God says that the sacrifice without heart is just like murdering the animals. Isaiah 66 verse 3, But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is like the one who breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. He who burns incense is like the one who blesses an idol, as they chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations. All those sacrifices that God's people have offered, God says He's sick of it. In Isaiah, He even says, tell someone to drive these people away. Because I'm just sick of all this. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God, your God. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22, Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better than worship. I mean, what's so good about you come every Lord's Day worship God when you don't obey at all out there? Why do you think that God is happy that you came to worship when you don't obey God out there? Even from the Old Testament, God says to obey is better than sacrifice. And when they do, in the Old Testament, God says it has to be a sacrifice of good condition. You know, if your lamb has a broken leg, you cannot bring that to sacrifice to God. But these Israelites, they brought those things that they cannot even sell them out there. Nobody will buy it because it's defect. Diseased and broken legs and things like that, they will bring it to God and they will worship, sacrifice to God. And that's exactly what you're doing if you are not worshiping in faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing you could bring to God that is acceptable to God. Only Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Only Jesus Christ is acceptable to God. So if you think that you did something great last week and you bring that to God and saying, look at what I did for you last week. That same thing as bringing broken leg lamb. And so arrogant, thinking that what you did, your act, is worthy of God's acceptance. No. That's why you only bring Christ. And you hold on to Jesus Christ. And you do everything in Him. Meaning that you believe that Jesus Christ has done all these things for you in your place perfectly. For example, praising. Oh, what, you think your praise is worthy of God's acceptance? It's not because you're out of tune or whatever, but your heart is not perfect. And that you, the song that you sing, the words, you don't even remember what we just sang. Those five verses that we sang, hymn, what did you say to God in those that hymn that you sang? See, you don't even remember. And you think that God is so pleased to accept that? Did it come out from your heart? Or you just read it? And you think that God is so happy to receive this worship? No, only reason he is receiving is that it is in Jesus Christ. That even as you sing and you forgot and all that, but you sang in faith in Christ. That he praised God perfectly in my place. So I do my best, but I need Christ. Without Christ, whatever you might be doing, even you, the thing that you think you did it best, it's not acceptable to God. But in Christ, what you do by faith, it is acceptable. So there are people who think that God will receive you better today because I brought fat, you know, envelope of money. Because I brought more than last week, oh, God's going to accept me better. No.
Oh, look at what I did Tuesday. I did this for you. So you think that God's going to accept you better? No. God cannot accept you apart from Christ. This is what you need to truly understand. Even as you do all these things that we do in worship, each one of them, when you do, you have to hold on to Christ. Otherwise, whatever you did, God's not accepting. Otherwise, you're so arrogant, thinking that just because you sang beautifully, now God is happy with your praise. That's the arrogance of sinner. That's just like bringing this defect sacrifices in the Old Testament. Because everything that you might be able to bring is defect. God is not happy with it. Only Jesus Christ. Do you understand this concept? Oh, this is so important, because if you don't understand this, then you're just wasting your time. It's not because of your sincerity God is happy with. Because your sincerity is never perfect. But that's what He desires, the perfect heart. Only Jesus has done that. But good news is that He did it for us. He did that in our places. And as we trust Him and believe, then whatever He did is ours. What God delights in us is that we obey Him. But even that, we have to do it in Christ. Because there's no way we could obey God perfectly apart from Christ. Verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. You know, in the Old Testament, King David is saying this. Oh, I delight to do your will. Yes, he meant it, but he knows. He's not going to do God's will. He will sin. See how imperfect this is? Even though they say these things, apart from Christ who will come and fulfill that, it means nothing. Even these words that David was praising God with, it has now eternal meaning because of Christ. Otherwise, it's just some sinner just saying these things and it really doesn't matter. But now God has blessed it. It became, or it is, God's word. Verse 9 and 10, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. David proclaims glad tidings of righteousness. He speaks of God's faithfulness and God's salvation. It tells of God's loving kindness and God's truth. All what God is pleased with. I mean, you could understand those verses, so not much comment there. Verses 11 and 12. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. As he writes this psalm, David is going through a great suffering. It says evil beyond number. They surrounded him.
But David knows that the sufferings are due to his own sin. His iniquities overtook him. He is not able to see because he is surrounded by the darkness. There is no escape for him. His iniquities are more numerous than the hairs of his head. His heart has failed him. So much sins that he is so discouraged and he sees no hope. Verses 13 through 15. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who says to me, aha, aha. Well, David is going through so much suffering. He understands that all that is because of his sins. He sees no hope. So only thing left is he cries out to God. He says, deliver me. Come quickly to help me. Let those who seek my life, those who delight in my hurt, let those who say to me, aha, aha, be ashamed, be humiliated, be turned back, be dishonored, and be desolate because of their shame. Micah chapter 7, verse 8 through 10. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes judgment, justice for me. He who brings me out to the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her, who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look on her. At that time, she will be trampled down like mire of the street. Yes, we might go through so much suffering and in the sight of the world, we'll fail and we fail and people will mock us. Where's your God who you said is with you? But we endure because on that day when Jesus returns, even those people who are mocking us, they will see how successful we are. Oh, yeah, not worldly success, but success of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will see how glorious we are. It's not about what kind of job we had or what kind of, how much money we had. No, it's about what Christ has done for me. That's what I'm going to show on that day. And I'm going to be glorious because that's exactly what he did for me. And I will show to everyone what Jesus has done for me. No, not even mention of what I have done. Man, that's just like what we said. It's a defect. And the psalm ends with verse 16 and 17. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. David confesses that he is afflicted and needy, that the Lord is his help and his deliverer. All who seek God, let them rejoice and be glad in God. They love God's salvation. They continually say, the Lord be magnified. And that's how the psalm ends. The central to this psalm is verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Like we said before, God is not pleased with only our ritual worship, which is not worship at all. We must worship with our hearts. David, even though he gives all, as much as he is able, even though he says that he delights to do God's will, but just as he has confessed, his sins are more numerous than the hairs of his hair. Hairs of his head. What it means is that it is impossible for David to please God on his own strength and ability. It's not all that he could say with his lips. Really doesn't matter. Because his sins are too numerous to count. Unless you are sinless like Jesus Christ, only thing you deserve is God's eternal judgment. But just as in every psalm that we have looked at, this psalm is a psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now everything we read in our psalm makes sense how Jesus says these things. Because how can David even say, I do your will, I delight in your will, when his sins are too numerous to count? But if it is Jesus Christ, if it is his psalm, oh, it makes perfect sense now. God, through Hebrews chapter 10, declares that this psalm has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. That the verse 6 through 8 is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, whole psalm is, but specifically in Hebrews 10, verse 6 through 8 is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. See, Hebrews, the author is speaking of Jesus. And he quotes what we see in our psalm as sayings of Jesus Christ. See, this is how we have to understand the Bible, especially the Old Testament. It's about Christ. The Old Testament sacrifices could not bring out from the people who sacrifices the true obedience. No matter how much they sacrifice, the people were never obedient. But Jesus Christ, his true sacrifice, the sacrifice of his own body, that is actually bringing out from you and me the obedience. And once we go to heaven, that obedience will be perfect. Look at Jesus' sacrifice has brought out this true obedience forever. But Old Testament sacrifices could not bring out that obedient in the people who are sacrificing those sacrifices. Jesus Christ, he obeyed God the Father perfectly. And he did that for us in our places. And he has sacrificed himself as the once and for all perfect sacrifice to God to fulfill all sacrifices.
We too praise our God. We give thanksgiving and praise to God who has saved us. We too, just like King David, have sins that are more numerous than the hairs of our heads. But Jesus Christ paid in full the wage of all our sins. In Christ, all our sins are forgiven and cleansed. So we give all ourselves and all our hearts to God. Rather, we witness how we are. The whole of ourselves are already offered up to God in Jesus Christ. That is our reality. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now we worship God in Jesus Christ, in faith in Jesus Christ, depending upon only upon the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we worship our God with all sincerity, but we know that until we go to heaven, our sincerity is never perfect. We must worship God in Jesus Christ. We worship God in faith in Jesus Christ. This is the only way for our worship to be truly pleasing to God. The worship is our life. Our obedient life in Jesus Christ is our living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. We love our God and God loves us. This is our joyous life in fellowship with our God. So verse 9, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. Yes, that's true of us. We too proclaim glad tidings of righteousness. But when we are preaching this righteousness, what are we actually saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30b. Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thus, when we proclaim the righteousness, we are actually proclaiming Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. And this is also in Christ our confession. John chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if we were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that will be written. We too, from now and forever and more, proclaim all that Jesus has done for us. And this is what we're going to do in heaven. You know, even in this world, there are so many people. Man, they just love talking about their kids and talking about grandkids, talking about wife or husband. All those things that they do out there, how successful they are, what kind of, I don't know, car or house they bought or all these things. Man, they don't even realize how fast time passes as they speak these things. So don't tell me, you know, I don't like to do those things. We all do. But for us, we speak of things that Jesus Christ has done, what Jesus has accomplished. And we'll do this forever and ever. And it will be our delight to speak of these things. In that sense, Christians are not that much different from the worldly people. We love to talk, but we speak of different things. Our life of praising God forever and our perfect obedient life in Jesus Christ, that is our heavenly reality that has already accomplished. So, brothers and sisters, your worship doesn't end when I do benediction. Actually, Sunday worship, the Lord's Day worship, is the pattern of our life. Whatever you do here, you go out there and do the same. You praise here, then you praise out there. You read God's word, you do that out there. You hear God's word, you do that out there. Whatever you do, you pray, you do that out there. This is the pattern. But this is a reflection of our life. And it is a reflection of our heavenly life. Even if you say to yourself, oh, it's not reflecting my life here on earth, that might be true because you might live in sinful life, but you could still say, but it is reflection of my eternal life in heaven, which is true. So realize that and live that obedient life, because that is holy sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice to our God, even today. So you offer your obedience to God. Well, I could have just said that one sentence and it would be whole sermon. But that's what it is. You offer your obedience. Meaning you offer your whole life, obedient life. But we're so much concerned, much more on what we have accomplished, how successful we are in this world. It's never about my obedience. Because they know, to be successful out there that much, they have to disobey. Even reading the word, coming to worship, participating in the fellowship of church, they have to sacrifice all those things. Ah, I shouldn't use that word sacrifice, but you understand. Because so far I've been using that word in a good sense. Now I'm using it in a bad sense. Obedient life, you guys. That's our offering to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. How you teach us Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Oh Father, let us continue to proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and offer up to you the living sacrifice, our obedient life. Our obedience in Jesus Christ. We thank you and we love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.